In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, on July 13th, 1917, Our Lady appeared to three children in Fatima for the third time. And this was, in a certain sense, the most important of the apparitions. Our Lady famously gave to the three children a secret of that apparition. And she also gave them a prayer to say, a prayer that they were to use to make reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She said that when they were doing a sacrifice for sinners, that they were to say the following, O Jesus, it is for the love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our Lady was asking these three children, these three small children, to do a work on her behalf. It's called the work of making reparation for sin, paying for sin. And these children were already familiar with this concept of paying for sin, that our prayers and our sacrifices can make atonement for sins, for our sins and for the sins of others. Because of the fact that the year before, God had decided to send an angel to them to prepare them for the coming of Our Lady. This was the guardian angel of Portugal. And this angel, he even brought the Blessed Sacrament, and they would bow down before the Blessed Sacrament and say this longer prayer to the Holy Trinity, again, for the same purpose, to make reparation for sin. Then some decades later, like 13 years later, Our Lady appeared to Sister Lucy and said that there was a time that she wanted to ask the world, really, all Catholics of the world, to do a special act of reparation. And this was the performance of the devotion of the five first Saturdays. She said, I want Catholics to honor me in a special way on the first Saturday of the month in five months in a row. And the reason for the number five is to atone for five types of blasphemies against me. And I wanted to note especially the fourth type is the blasphemies of those who seek openly to foster in the hearts of children indifference or contempt for this Immaculate Mother. So this reality of the message of Fatima shows to us how important it is from the perspective of heaven, from the perspective of our Lord and our Lady, for us to do the work of making reparation for sin. A lot of times when we think of prayer, we think of the prayer of petition, we think of adoration, we think of thanksgiving, and we can tend to neglect this particular intention of prayer, one of the four intentions of prayer, to make up for sin. We as Catholics, we believe that God not only asks us, but he wants us to do the work of making up for sin. Of course, our Lord paid for all of our sins on the cross, but God gets to decide how things work in the supernatural order, and he paid the full price, but he also asks of us to pay a price. He asks for us to cooperate with our own redemption by uniting with him in the payment of sin. We're not like Protestants where we think that our Lord does absolutely everything and he asks nothing of us, that all we have to do is just accept our Lord as our personal Savior and then we're saved. There's nothing else for us to do. But rather, we believe that again, for heaven, that it's important for us to do acts of reparation, to make reparation for sin. Certainly, Our Lord and Our Lady would not go to the trouble to come down from heaven to have these special apparitions because, Our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1600s to emphasize and renew the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to ask specifically, again, for a work of reparation that we as Catholics, this is our Savior asking us as Catholics to do works of prayer and sacrifice in order to make up for sin. And then, as they say, in the early 1900s, Our Lady coming to these three children and asking for the same type of work. And of course, when Our Lord and Our Lady do this, they're not just speaking to these individuals. They're speaking to all of us. They're asking all of us to do these works of reparation. This is what the Sacred Heart asks of St. Margaret Mary. This is what the Immaculate Heart asks of the three children of Fatima. And they're asking it of us. And this is just part of our Catholic life. This is part of what we do as Catholics. We do prayers and sacrifices to make up for sin. And among the most important sins to make up for, make reparation for, are the sins of blasphemy. St. Thomas Aquinas, he says that blasphemy is the disparagement of some surpassing goodness, especially that of God. And what our Superior General, Father Pagliarani, and our District Superior, Father Fullerton, are asking us to do is to make up for, make reparation for a certain type of blasphemy, of a surpassing goodness of God, that's contained in this document issued by the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith, Mater Populi Fidelis, because this document disparages a surpassing goodness, namely the position of Our Lady as co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. These titles, of course, they refer to two acts of surpassing goodness performed by Our Lady. God gave to her the power to perform these acts. She does these acts, and these are acts that concern the salvation of the entire world. And so they are of a goodness that is at another level than just any ordinary goodness. The first act of surpassing goodness is the act whereby Our Lady stands at the foot of the cross and she offers her Son willingly, voluntarily, to the Heavenly Father for the sins of mankind. She doesn't stand there in a state of self-pity, in a state of anger and rage, but rather she willingly, as I say, offers her sufferings and her Son to the Heavenly Father for our sins, for our salvation. Pope Benedict XV expressed this very beautifully when he said the following: "With her suffering and dying Son, Mary endured suffering and almost death. She gave up her mother's rights over her Son to procure the salvation of mankind and to appease the divine justice. She, as much as she could, immolated her Son, so that one can truly affirm that together with Christ, she has redeemed the human race." The second act of surpassing goodness is that Our Lady at this moment is distributing to all souls in the human race the graces earned on Calvary. The act of her offering her Son was one that took place in the past in one moment of time. But the act of her distributing the graces to mankind is an act that is taking place right now and will continue to take place until the end of the world. St. Bernardine of Siena explains this role of Our Lady as mediatrix of all graces by saying, "Every grace which is communicated to this world has a threefold course. For in accord with excellent order, it is dispensed from God to Christ, from Christ to the Virgin, and from the Virgin to us." And Leo XIII says, "No less correctly can one affirm that absolutely nothing of that great treasury of all grace which the Lord brought us, nothing of it is given to us except through Mary, for such is the will of God." So here's the situation, my dear faithful. God Almighty has the capacity, the right to decide how to design the supernatural order, how we are to get to heaven. And what he decided was that he would choose one creature to need to use one creature to associate with his Son in the work of our redemption. That he created Our Lady as the most perfect creature. He made her to be immaculately conceived. He gave her the power to bring our Lord into this world. He asked her to accompany him in his most important work, the redemption of mankind. She cooperated with this grace. She stood at the foot of the cross. She offered him to the Heavenly Father, and with him redeem the human race. Because of that, we give her a title. Because of this great work that she did, which deserves a special reward and merit. We give her, the church gives her the title co-redemptrix. And then also, because she with our Lord, we obtained all these graces, she with our Lord communicates them to mankind. And again, for this great role of hers, we give her a title. The church awards her a title, mediatrix of all graces. But then over time, there was a certain class of people who came into this world who were somehow scrupulous about this honor being given to Our Lady, the Protestants. When the Protestants for the past 500 years have tried to diminish the honor the Catholics have paid to Our Lady. And what we're seeing is that after 500 years of campaigning against Our Lady, it's like the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith is taking these titles away from Our Lady, stripping Our Lady of these titles that she so richly deserved. And by doing so, openly fostering an indifference to Our Lady. Let me just give a comparison to try to understand what's happening here. I think if you had a marathon, a really important marathon, and this runner runs the race and wins the reward, and after the race is over, the committee gives this person the award, and they give the person the title of the victor of the marathon. And then years pass by, and this person still has the title, but there's a certain number of people who decide, we don't like this guy. We think that we should work against him having this title. We're going to go to the committee, and we're going to say to them, we want you to strip this title of victor of the marathon away from this person, even though that runner had done nothing. He had not cheated or anything like that. And then the committee eventually caves and surrenders to this pressure. And they unjustly strip this marathon runner of his title of victor. So what I'm saying is this is something similar is happening to Our Lady, to our mother, in that she earned these great titles of co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. And there's these people who have put all this pressure for so many years to denigrate her and take away from her the honor that is due to her. And so now it's as if they're dethroning her. They're taking away these great titles of co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. My dear faithful, to the degree that you see that this is not just, and this is so shocking for a woman so great, so sublime, of another order as Our Lady, then the proper reaction of your Catholic heart is to say, I want to do acts of reparation. I want to make up for these sins committed against the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is a consolation for us. This should be a consolation for us as Catholics. When we think about Our Lady asking these three children to do this work, and the fact that she's asking us as well, Our Lady is pleased with us. She's when we make prayers and sacrifices to atone for the sins committed against her Immaculate Heart. So we want to show our mother that we're sorry for the dishonor that has been done to her. And we show that by making prayers of reparation. So after Mass, we're going to sing the Litany of Our Lady. And we're also going to sing the Stabat Mater. You'll find both of these in your hymnals, both of these hymns, Gregorian hymns. And as I say, we're going to be adding special prayers to our rosary over the next 2 months, these prayers that are listed in the bulletin. And I just want to invite you to play your part in this special role. How many people in the world are making reparation for this? It's truly very few. We want to help take away this great sin against Our Lady. We want to restore the honor that has been taken away from her. And I hope that this document, the event of this document, shocking document coming out, may be an occasion for you to renew your devotion to Our Lady, to be moved, to want to even be more devoted to her than in the past. If you're not praying your rosary every day, to make sure to pray your rosary. If you haven't made your consecration to Our Lady, to make the effort to make this consecration. Because, yes, our mother is being attacked. And if this moves your heart in any way, if you have any love for her, you must find expression for that love in these acts of prayer and reparation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.